This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, all over the fruited plain, men, women, boys, and girls, please open your King James Bibles to new book today, the book of Judges in the Old Testament, right after the book of Joshua. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Excuse me. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now, when God loves you so much that he writes you a book and puts a name on it, the first thing we want to do is study the name. Every book in God's Bible has a name, and every name means something. So the name Judges means to set in order. The Hebrew word is shofat, to set in order and then rule. See, most people rule and then try to set in order. Okay, to set in order and then rule. Now in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, Jesus says that the saints, the overcomers, those who overcome the temptation of the soon coming Antichrist, shall rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years in the millennium, will be in our spiritual bodies. Rule, in other words, we're going to be setting things aright in order in the millennium, a disciplined type of teaching of the word. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, Paul says, "What? Know you not that the saints shall judge angels?" Saints are set aside, apart for God's holy use, one. Now, you say, "Well, how am I going to judge angels?" Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, the last verse in that chapter says, angels are ministering spirits sent to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. You're an heir of salvation. So right now we see that God has angels to minister to you, to help you, but not to be your Holy Spirit, but to help get things done as you walk your Christian walk. And Psalm 103 says that when those holy angels hear the voice of God coming from your mouth, they hearken to the voice of God. So see, you can set things in order in many situations in this world by making your voice say with a fervent and loving heart, the word of God, the voice of God is the word of God. And the holy angels, when they hear that, they will go and do that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
So see, you want to be a judge. Now, some of you are little judges anyway. I bet you set aright your closet, don't you? You put that in order? Okay. Now, there are three characteristics that really stand out, many more, but three outstanding characteristics of a God-appointed judge. All judges are supposed to be appointed by God, and we're going to learn that in this great book. The first characteristic of a God-appointed judge, male or female, is the anointing of Holy Spirit. In other words, there's the Holy Spirit on them. That means that God has wrapped himself around that person, painted himself on them, and that Holy Spirit speaks through them, prays through them, sings through them, heals through them, operates through them, empowers, casts out demons through them, lives through them. The second characteristic is courage. The courage automatically brings strength. But in other words, a God-appointed judge does not stay in their comfort zone. They get out of the boat and walk on the water. The just live by faith, not by sight. And the third characteristic of a God-appointed judge is wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world, that's foolishness with God, but God's plan, God's mystery. And a part of that wisdom is discernment of spirit. A God-appointed judge can feel in one instant second when something's out of order in an assembly such as this, in a home, in a city, in a school, in a nation, and the God-appointed judge, because you are assigned to that, begins to set that thing aright. You will often see a God-appointed judge take the furniture and move it around. That's not silly. They're beginning to set it apart. Because just in the natural, if you've had something sitting there for years, if you move it, there might be some dead cockroaches back there, right? Something needs to move. And also a God-appointed judge knows that when you move something in the natural, something moves in the spiritual. Everybody got it? Okay, now, we had a great judge in Moses. God selected him, and he said, Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of captivity in Egypt. So Moses, the God-appointed judge, led them right to the border of the promised land. But the children of Israel, although they were God's people and Messiah was to come through that lineage, they would not respect Moses. They would not do what he said to do. And the only thing he told them to do was what God told him to tell them to do. And they talked about him behind his back, and they rebelled against them, and they were rude. And so God wiped out that generation, but let the younger generation live. Now, Moses had someone he was mentoring, and a younger God-appointed judge named Joshua. So God took Moses, and then Joshua led the people into the promised land. But he only got them to the entrance. There were lots of enemies in there. We're going to talk about that. But he actually got them into the promised land. And then, as we're going to see here, Joshua dies. So that means the children of Israel had no king. It would be 200 years later before their first man king, King Saul, and then King David would be appointed. So God, over a period of 450 years, appointed 12 men and women of God as God's judges, not one after another. Sometimes there were periods in between. Joshua led them into the promised land in 1492 B.C. How about that? Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. The America's the promised land. You think there's any connection? I think so. Now, over a period of years, 450 years, these judges will be appointed by God, and they will be there to set things in order, get things right, to rule, to reign, and sometimes to deliver. And this period will take us to 1000 B.C.
Judges chapter 1 verse 1.
I wanted to say one more thing about the judges. He's going to appoint 12. 12 is in biblical numerics, it's a number of governmental perfection. And there were 12 tribes of Israel, the descendants of the 12 patriarchs, the sons of Jacob. There are 12 months in a year, there are 12 apostles. Now there is going to be a 13th judge. The 12 will be great people. They're exciting. You're going to love them. And some of them, you're going to say, maybe that's me. But there's a 13th one. 13 is a number of chaos and confusion. So he was self-appointed. Anytime we have a self-appointed, even in our Supreme Court, they will break the Constitution and make us buy something we're not supposed to be. All judges are to be appointed by God. So, now Joshua.
Now, after the death of Joshua,
the very first word is incorrect in the English. It reads, and after the death of Joshua. Joshua gets him in there, the enemies in the land, so they, each one of these tribes and their families, God has given them an allotment of land. But they're in the promised land at the edge. They have to now go and take the land. See, some of you have a destiny. You've got one foot in your destiny, but you have not yet possessed the land because the enemy is there and is hindering you. Understand? But Joshua dies, and so now they're in the land. Now let's see what's going to happen. They're going to need somebody to help them out. No judges yet.
It came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?
All right. Now, in Deuteronomy 7, God had told Moses, when you get to the promised land, and Joshua knew this too, the place is going to be filled with Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Hittites, Jebusites, and Cellulites. I made it with the last one. Okay. And he says, they're enemies, and I want you to totally annihilate them. And we're going to find out why. You think that's cruel. No, it isn't. They're hybrid. They're not natural. And I want you to drive them out. The Canaanites were half angel and half woman. They were Geba giants. The Perizzites were actually the fallen angels. There had been a second influx of them. And he says, tear down their groves. One of our good judges, Gideon, is going to tear down the groves where they worship. Take their temples and smash them, their worship places. Do not marry them. Kill the women and children too, because they're going to grow up and they're going to seduce your children. Then you're going to have a mixed race. Don't even befriend them. In other words, get them out. Clean out. Now, all of you have a destiny and a territory. The first thing you do to get your territory is you've got to start with yourself and you've got to clean up your room. The first room you drive out of the enemy is the room of your mind, okay? You've got a room there and it's filled with resentment and it's filled with criticism and it's filled with I will not do that and it's filled with pride and me, myself, and I. So, before you can go and possess all of your destiny, you got to start with your first room. So let's get our room clean tonight, okay? Hallelujah.
Verse 2, and the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand.
All right, so they asked the Lord. They didn't have anyone now, so the Lord answered them. They said, which one of the tribes is going to be the first to go up and start getting the enemy out of the land? They were, you go first. You go first. I don't want to go. And so back in Genesis, when Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, blessed his 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes, to Judah, he said, Judah will always be a champion of his people. And the king line will always be with Judah. We know that David was of Judah, the king line. Jesus was the king of the lion of tribe of Judah. And I want you to know that the Bible says Jeremiah brought three daughters into England, Scotland, and Ireland that belonged to the last king line, king of Judah living. Queen Elizabeth, 91 years old, is that king line, queen line still of the tribe of Judah. Now we know we have our brother Judah in the land of Israel also. But see, that promise is still there. Now, so he chooses Judah. So he said, Judah says, okay, Judah is chosen by God to lead in this battle. One of the names of Judah, his name means praise. And one of the reasons God chose him is first he's to be a champion and he's the king line, but his name means praise. So now, when you get your room cleaned out of the resistance, of the not yielding, of the pride, of the me, myself, and I, it's all about me, what am I going to do, am I going to be great in the body of Christ, when you get that cleaned out, lead that as you clean out with praise. When you start praising, demonic forces flee. Praise brings the presence of God, and the presence of God brings the joy, and the joy brings the strength. So Judah was chosen. Now remember, each one of these tribes has been ordered by God through Moses, through Joshua, don't leave any enemy left. Clean it out and then put God in your territory. Let's see if they're going to obey.
Verse 3, and Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him.
So Judah and Simeon were very geographically connected. He said, Judah said, listen, you come and help me get the enemy out of my territory, and then I'll help you. Now that's a very good thing to do. So Simeon said, okay, so they're obeying.
4, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands.
Wow, that's a double portion. The Canaanites are the Geba, the giants, a hybrid. They're the children of the fallen angels. There was a second influx of them and human women. But the Perizzites were actually the fallen angels themselves. They were there. Now in Genesis 6, the first influx of the fallen angels, they refused to be born of women and they messed up God's plan because they knew about the first earth age and they could just mess it up and they were there to have a hybrid to prevent Messiah Jesus from coming through a pure seed. So the first influx was Genesis 6. God wiped that out with Noah's flood. But in Genesis chapter 12, the second influx came. And so there they are. See? And God says, wipe them out. These are not natural. This is not God's territory. You do not have to agree with the fallen angels. There's going to be a third influx of them. It's soon and very soon. We're in the fifth trump. At the sixth trump, Antichrist will come, Revelation 12, and the fallen angels are coming with him. And they are going to come into territories like this. And it's up to us elect to annihilate their lies.
And they slew of them and beset 10,000 men.
They took down 10,000 of those Canaanites and Perizzites.
And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek.
Okay, there was a town there called Bezek. And there was the mayor. His name was Adonai Bezek. It was a title. Adonai means Lord or Master of Bezek. So the mayor there. But remember, he was one of those. He was either a Canaanite or a Perizzite. So they're supposed to take him out too. So there he was. Let's see what happens to him.
They fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And Adonai Bezek fled.
He was scared. He ran.
And they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toe.
His big toe. It was a custom to cut off the thumbs and the big toes of your enemy, so then they could not hold a sword to hurt you, and they could hardly stand or have balance to run after you. So this was customary. They have not killed him yet. It was customary for kings to maybe take their trophy king sort of as a token, and they would just kind of let them live out their life, but in prison, but as a token, and treat them pretty good, and our people would have until they died. And that's what's going to happen to Adonai Bezek.
7. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings.
70 kings.
And their thumbs and their great toes cut off. Gather their meat under my table.
He says, I have cut off the thumbs and toes of 70 kings. Now, this has happened to me. How does he handle it?
As I have been, so hath God requited me.
This heathen man recognizes that God has a sure and certain law called God's law of reciprocity. Genesis 8:22. Seed. Time, harvest. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. In other words, whatever you give out, good, bad, or ugly, it's going to come back, and it picks up additional debris on the way back. So he recognizes that he's getting his just desserts. You don't see many heathen leaders say, I deserve that, do you?
They brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died.
So obviously they let him live until it was time for him to die. Our people are good people.
Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it, and had smitten it and taken it with the edge of the sword, and had set the city on fire.
Okay. Judah's doing good. They're going and taking their territory. See, the Judah was supposed to have Jerusalem. It actually was not called Jerusalem at this time. It was called Jebus. It would only be called Jerusalem 200 years later after this Judges event, when King David himself would capture Jerusalem and change its name from Jebus, a dirty, filthy, sinful place, and call it Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, the city of peace. God's favorite place in the universe. That's where God's going to live forever, all cleaned up. So they really only got a part of it, but they were doing really good. See, you don't get all of your destiny in one moment. You get into your destiny, and you start cleaning out the enemy, and step by step by step, you gain ground, and you gain, and you take back the land. Inch by inch, it's a cinch.
Right. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites.
Now the Canaanites, half angel and half man, bad dudes.
But dwelt in the mountains, and in the south, and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites, but dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba.
Kirjath means city of, and Arba means the giants. So see, I told you there were giants there. By the way, I have a video of a city, Petra there. It's going to be the last word of this chapter. I have a video of these, there still remains there of Petra, and it's a city. I mean, you talk about our doors up here, it's way up there. Some of those people were 8 feet tall. So they're going to go take out a place of the giants. Now we're going to hear some of the giants' names.
And they slew Shushai, Ahiman, and Talmai.
The three giants. Ahiman, Talmai. Okay.
11. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Deba. And the name of Deba before was Kirjath Zephar.
Now, Kirjath, Deba was called Kirjath, city of Zephar means books. Now they're going to take another city in that area. It's their territory. And they find that the city is the library. It's interesting to me how the people of the world, lost people, still love books. Look at our Harvard professors. They love books, but they don't love God. How about Nebuchadnezzar, who later on would capture Judah? He got worshiped the god Nebo. Now, these would not be God's books. I love books. I've got a whole library of them, and I love to read them, have loved to read them. But wisdom comes from knowing God. That's so. You don't have any wisdom unless you know God's word.
Well, then Caleb said, he that smiteth.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about Caleb. Now comes Caleb on the scene here. Who is Caleb? Well, when Moses was still alive, the children of Israel said, we're afraid to go into the land, so send us out some spies in the promised land to see if we can take it. So Moses sent Joshua, you know, he's the judge, but he's died now, and Caleb and other spies. The other spies, the Israelites, said, we can't take that. We're like grasshoppers. They're bigger than us. We're scared. We're going to roll down, go club up the covers over us. Caleb said, we can take it. We've got a God, and we'll take that. So here comes Caleb. He's the tribe of Judah. So God gives him an honorable mention. Now, he sees, he's of the tribe of Judah. He sees that his tribe needs to take Kirjath Zephar, the city of books. So he says, if anybody will take this city, let's see what he offers.
Kirjath Zephar, and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife.
I'll give you my beautiful daughter to wife. Oh, somebody's listening. I like her.
13. And Othniel. Son of Kenaz.
Son of Kenaz. Kenaz is Caleb's brother. So Othniel would be Caleb's nephew, not his son.
His brother took it.
He took it.
He gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife.
Okay.
14. And it came to pass when she came to him.
Okay. She says, hello, Othniel, I'm your wife. Now I want you to do something for me, Othniel.
That she moved him to ask of her father a field.
I want you to ask my dad to give us a field. Now, there's something missing between this sentence and the next one, because obviously Othniel wouldn't do that. You don't want to go to your brand new father-in-law and say, give me a field. So Oxner gets on her donkey, and she goes to Caleb, her dad. She is a go-getter. In other words, lead or get out of the way.
She lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou?
What do you want, daughter? She goes to her dad, Caleb.
15. And she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land.
Bless me, Dad. You haven't blessed me. South in Hebrew means parched. You've given me a parched land. I can't grow any crops off there. I can't grow crops there. We can't have our herds there. There's no water, Dad. I mean, listen, we need water.
Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs.
So he gave her the water. When you go to possess your land and you drive out the enemy, make sure to take the living water with you. Jesus is that living water.
And the children of the Kenites.
Oh, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. You will notice that spelled differently from C, okay? They are not the same. You hear me all the time say Kenites, and you probably think I'm saying Canaanites. No. The Kenites with a K are the descendants of Cain, And Cain was the child of that old devil, sometimes called the serpent, when Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. So what we're going to see here now, that there is a Kenite territory there. So they are in the human form after generation, but the devil is their father. That's that second father of Malachi 4. So they have a territory there. Now he's going to tell you a little story about Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. So I'm going to tell you that Moses was married to Zipporah, and Zipporah was the daughter of Jethro. And Jethro, before he went and Zipporah to help Moses bring the children to the promised land, he had lived in this Kenite territory. So they called him a Kenite. Moses' sister Miriam said, "You mixed a breed. You're not supposed to mix." Moses said, "No, I did not." Jethro was not a Kenite, but he lived there. Jethro's father was Midian. Midian was a Hebrew priest, and Midian was the son of Abraham by Abraham's second wife, Keturah, but he just lived there. So what he's going to do now, Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, apparently he outlived Moses, he's going to go back to that land, but this time it'll be his and not the Kenites. Understand?
Right.
So that's what this next sentence means. It comes out very garbled in English, so I'm going to tell you the story.
Moses' father-in-law went up out of the city of palm trees,
Jericho,
with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south of Aranab. And they went and dwelt among the people.
Okay, so now he's back there, but this time it's holy ground. So okay, so far so good.
17, and Judah went with Simeon, his brother, and they slew the Canaanites and inhabited Sephath and utterly destroyed it.
That's what God said, utterly destroy them. Don't leave anything there. No groves, no temples. In other words, these are the enemy. There is a time to destroy the enemy.
The city was called Quamah. 18. Also, Judah took Gaza.
Oh, Gaza. Heard the Gaza Strip? Now listen to the others.
The coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof.
Isn't it an oil company called Ekron? These three cities, along with Ashdod and Gath, were the five great cities of the Philistines, who were the mixed breed there. And so what happened, Judah captures them, but later on Philistines came and got them back. So there's always been a war on the Gaza Strip between God's seed and the devil's seed.
19, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley.
Okay, Judah was doing everything God's way, but he ran into a little blockage. And now, why couldn't he drive out the inhabitants of the valley?
Because they had chariots of iron.
The enemy there had great big chariots with lots of wheels on it, driven by great thoroughbred horses. And the wheels had around an entire wheel 18-inch blades, swords, knives sticking out. And they would get that horse to go fast, and they would run that chariot with those blades sticking out on those wheels and slice and dice the men. So Judah was afraid of that. Now when we get to chapter 4, a little woman judge named Deborah is going to go in there and take them. She's not afraid of their long knives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she's a woman.
Run to Caleb. As Moses said, when he expelled thence the three sons of Anak.
Okay, Horeb, God had told Caleb, he said, you can have Mount Horeb. When Caleb came back with Joshua and said, we could go take that, Moses said, what would you like to have? What property would you like to have? And Caleb said, I want Mount Horeb. So he got his land. See, there's a possession for everybody. There's a spiritual possession for each one of you. Everybody fitly joined together.
21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites.
The Jebusites, the Hittites, the Amorites. Benjamin did not drive them out.
But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin unto this day.
Oh my goodness, they're still there. Okay. When Ezra and Nehemiah went back to build the wall, this would be later on after the people had been captured and they came back to repair. Back came Judah and back came Benjamin, the two tribes. But they brought with them the Nethinim, who are the same thing as the Jebusites, who are the same thing as the Kenites. And to this day, in the land of Israel, we love our brother Benjamin, Benjamin Netanyahu. And we love our brother Judah. But right in there, on that area, there are also the Kenites, descendants of Cain. They always say they are Judah, but they are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. The only two type churches that please Jesus are the ones who will tell you this, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They're to this day.
22. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel.
Oh, now Joseph, now we're going tribe by tribe to see if they're going to obey God. So far, so good, right? Except Benjamin, he messed up. And he didn't take them out. Now Joseph of many colors, where does he go? He goes to Bethel. Bethel is Beth, house, El, God. We call this place Bethel. You're going to find out why.
And the Lord was with them.
Yes.
And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel.
Descry is kind of like the town crier in early America. The town crier would go around and say, "Hear ye, hear ye." So they would go around and say, "Hear ye, hear ye. We're going to take Bethel." And they also would spy out the land. So Joseph is going to take Bethel. And do you know that by the migrations of our people in the Bible, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim is now Great Britain, and Manasseh is America. So Joseph's sons are taking back Bethel. The enemy took it from us. Hallelujah.
The name of the city before was Luz.
Now this is important. Joseph says, "I'm going to take Bethel." That's God's land. It was Luz. Do you remember that when Jacob was running from his brother Esau, because Esau was going to kill him, that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, he's the father of these 12 patriarchs, he slept out in a field on a rock, the stone of Scones, under the throne, well, it's actually in Scotland now, but every king and queen of England has taken their oath on it. But anyway, he sat there and he had a vision. He saw a stairway to heaven, angels coming down and angels going up. Do you know they're doing that right now? And that was the place called Luz, and Jacob called it Bethel. He said, "Truly, this is the house of God." So Joseph knew this story, and he's going to go take back the house of God. Let's take back the house of God from the enemy.
Amen. 24, and the spies, four men come forth out of the city. And they said unto him, "Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city."
Now, of course, Joseph and his crew knew how to get into the city. What they're saying, they see a citizen come out, "Show us a way we can sneak in and take the city." And so, and they're going to say, "We'll spare your life." Remember, they're told to kill everybody, but they're going to still do it God's way. Let's see how they do this. So tell us how to get in there so we can take the city and we won't kill you.
"And we will show thee mercy." 24, and when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. And the man went and dwelt in the land of the Hittites, and built a city, and called the name thereof Luz.
Okay, the man, he led them. They took the city. So what they do, they couldn't leave him in there with him. So he went out and dwelt with the enemy in another territory, Hivites. But he was so touched by the mercy of Joseph that he built a city and called it Luz. Now, for homework, I want you to read the rest of this, and I'm going to give you a brief synopsis. He takes us down tribe by tribe. The rest of these tribes do not obey God. They do take their territory, but they leave the enemy in there. And any time you associate with the enemy, in other words, there's always that enmity, it won't work. There was a tribe of Manasseh, he got his territory, but he left the bad guys in there, but he made them pay taxes. You'll see the word tributary, that's taxes. Then there was Ephraim, and then there was Zebulun, and there was a tribe of Asher, and there was a tribe of Naphtali. And then we come to the tribe of Dan. Dan didn't even go in to get his possession. The rest of them I just named did get in there, but they left the enemy in there and made him pay taxes. See, they were greedy. Dan didn't even get in. The Amorites beat him out. We do know that in the book of Revelation, Dan and Ephraim are not listed in the 12 tribes in that listing. But we do have hope in the book of Ezekiel, the prophetic eternity, they are listed. Dan and Ephraim did go after other gods, and so we have that. So the rest of this is what happened. And it says the inhabitants of the land that were left there went up to Aquadim. You'll see that word, that last little verse there. Aquadim means the rise of the scorpion. A scorpion is a demon, and the rock. The rock is Petra. I told you that city, Petra. So they stayed there, and they dwelt in their giant city, Petra, and that brought in demons. That was the rise of a demon force against God's children. All right. With that in mind, this is set the stage, and then we're going to start the play next week. I just can't wait. You're going to love all of these characters. They're amazing. God bless you. I hope you are blessed. Amen. We'll begin with chapter 2 next time. So clean out your territory and start taking back the land that God has promised you. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. That was a good old-fashioned Bible lesson today.
Thank you. It was God's word.
It was definitely awesome. Awesome stuff. Okay, we only have one question today. Could you please talk about the Russian rattling and all this stuff about Russia?
Yes, we only have one question because that's all I've got time for. Yes, this is a prophecy of the end times. God is telling you to wake up. Russia is going to be the villain in the battle of Haman Gog, which is recorded in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It tells us in the Bible that Esau is Edom. Esau was Jacob's brother, and Edom is Rush, Rush, Rush by the Vogel. And the Bible says that Edom, Russia, is going to come against Jacob. Jacob's 12 tribes, but they are split to the house of Judah, 10 the house of Israel. The larger bulk of the house of Israel migrated Manasseh into America. America bought Alaska from Russia for a pittance. And since Russia is trying to rebuild the Russian Empire, they've already taken Georgia, they've already taken Crimea, they're right now in Alaska, they're surveying that, and they're going to come against us to take Alaska. That is the battle of Haman Gog. It'll be a little while before that, but God wants you to know they're rattling, they're checking it out, so they'll be ready. Now I can tell you about that battle. Our military will not fight that battle. Because when they start that, God's going to fight the battle and going to drop hailstones on them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, so much for that prophecy coming true. And see, you hear in the news, there's Alaska. Yeah. And so it's Alaska. That's it. That's the The Bible doesn't say Alaska, but it describes a long territory, and you can tell it's Alaska.
And even in the news, we've seen the last 4 days in a row, Russia has flown bombers and spy planes.
And Alaska. Yeah. That's right. That's true. That's exactly. The Battle of Haman Gog. It's a prophecy. It's telling all of you. It's later than you think. God sent me an angel messenger from heaven and took me to heaven and told me, and he said the end is very near. So whatever you need to do for God, you better get it done right now or you won't have time. Well, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel left his stuff in the bag. Let's have Scott's stuff.
And this goes right with your word tonight about cleaning house. The battleground is in the mind for your thoughts right now, for the roots of your thoughts. For from those roots of such things, us man-centered attitudes, speculations, and certain beliefs, the devil has created citadels, fortresses in our minds, our natural minds. And from these strongholds, the demons can deceive and torment the believers. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
That is perfect. My goodness. The Holy Spirit led you. That just, yeah, that's beautiful.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Scott Merson, Produce Place, Sundry, Florida. Now, let's all get saved. Please pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me. To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that, feel free to call me. My announcer will give you my telephone number. By the way, those of you who call, feel free to leave your prayer request. Please speak clearly. Those of you with cell phones that rattle and garble and everything, be careful that your cell phone works right. Leave your prayer request and I'll pray for you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, I ask, please, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. And I ask, Father God, that the healing virtue of Jesus will go into the very mind. And I ask you would dislodge wrong thoughts and wrong ideas and demonic pressures and dementia and Alzheimer's in the mind and cause the brain cells to work. Touch the eyes, remove the cataracts, glaucoma, and macular disease in Jesus' name. Touch the ears, fix the eardrums. Teeth and gums and throat and chest and hearts and lungs, kidneys, bladder. Let the kidneys work right. No overaction or inaction. Colon, stomachs, pancreas, legs, muscles, blood cells in Jesus' name. Feet and toes from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. Let there be a healing power going through you. Everything rejuvenated. What's missing, let there be a new thing there. And let everything be repaired. Be healed in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Now, faith is an act. Get up, take up your bed, and walk no matter how you feel. Amen. And as you walk, you will receive the healing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, Amen. You might want to call and tell me that too. Now it's time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. You, Christian, sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot lose. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. He enables you. He knows all about you. He is your helper. He does not sleep. He watches over you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your destiny. He's on your side. He knows everything about everything. And the Holy Spirit is God. These three are one. You have Father, Son, Holy Spirit living in you. My Lord, God, and one's a majority.
Hallelujah.
You cannot lose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can forward this program to your friends on WMIEFM.com on demand. Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, WMIEFM.com on demand. Any time of the week. And get all of these beautiful books that I've already taught and am teaching now. Now remember Jesus Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now wait for my announcement. Please call me. And remember this, that you're not supposed to keep this. Everything you've given is to tell, share. So go and share. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying I love you and God bless you. And please stay in the truth with love.
Thank you.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
It's your We've turned the page, for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the virtues that once gave us light? And where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we all will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. Oh, oh, oh. The newest rage is the reason it out. Just meditate and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive, but I still believe
in the old rugged cross.
Whoa, I still believe
there is hope for the lost.
And I know the rock of all ages will stand through the changes of time. The basics of life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life.
We need to get back.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless word, no one could express how much you deserve. No, no. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper, you search much deeper within.